You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
The lion will roar so loud to invoke fear in anything within his territory that they run in exactly opposite the direction of that roar. And then the lionesses are on the other side to catch the prey that runs right into the trap. Am I right? Did you know that's what the devil does to you when it's dark in your life? If he can just put fear and panic in you to where you run in the wrong direction, he's leading you right into his destructive plot.
Fear has a way of sounding urgent, convincing you to move fast and run the other way. And that's exactly how Satan works, using fear to distort what's true and push you off course. Instead of standing firm, you're tempted to retreat, to doubt, to hide. Today, Pastor Gary will challenge you to listen to God by explaining that fear and faith can't lead at the same time. But you don't have to follow fear. You can recognize the lie, stand on truth, and keep walking forward in the direction God is calling you. Now, here's Pastor Gary in the book of Isaiah chapter 50 as he begins his message, Learning to See in the Dark.
Father, open our hearts to your word today. Help me to not mess this up, but just speak what I hear you say for your people, for us. We are hungry, we are needy, we are desperate. Lord, we can't and don't want to do this without you. Lord, if I knew that you was not with us from henceforth, I would resign today and quit the ministry. But we are not of those which turn back, because we know that you are here. We know that you will never leave us and never forsake us. We know what the word has declared, and the devil is a liar. And God is true. And so we bless you and thank you, Lord, that you have counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry. Thank you that you promised to me as a young teenager when I surrendered to preach. Two verses. Faithful is he who hath called you, who also will do it. And he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in those moments of weakness, trial, tribulation, persecution, hardship, questions, more questions than answers, I have stood on those two verses. And you have gently reminded me that you're going to finish what you started, no matter what the optics say. Because I have a more sure word of promise. It's the voice of the word of God. So we stand upon that and we deliver it to your people with your help today. In Jesus' name, God's children say amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. We'll read two verses. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11. But to give you context, this is a chapter that is got prophetic wording declaring unto us the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And we pick up in verse 10. Imagine with me for just a second before we read this verse, being one of those Old Testament saints during the life and times of Jesus, who before he revealed himself, they was awaiting the promise of the Messiah. And the Bible said of Jesus, they which sat in darkness saw great light. Imagine with me how dark the times must have been when for 400 years they had not heard from a prophet who declared, thus saith the word of the Lord. And much like 400 years in Egyptian bondage, 400 years they sat in darkness, but there were those who were faithful to his word and who were eagerly anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And so that is the context that I want you to envision this verse, because I believe that it would respect the essence of what the text is telling us. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? This is not talking about walking in evil. This is not talking about walking in disobedience. This is talking about walking in a very dark time where you're waiting patiently for the voice of the Lord, but it's been a while since you've heard anything conceivably from God. And hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay or lean upon his God. Can I put it this way? Stay put on Jesus. Verse 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire. Now this is in context, I believe, talking about those who, for lack of patience in waiting on God, try to create their own light. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Try as we may to create artificial light by which to see when we can't perceive God's voice and word, we will fail utterly. But today I want to preach on learning to see in the dark. When it's dark outside, literally, and there are no lights. Y'all remember when the hurricane came through and put out all the lights and how creepily and eerily dark the town was, and even your neighborhood where you usually at least have one or two street lights laced throughout the community. It's just eerily dark. What is the first thing that sets in psychologically on you when it's pitch dark and you have no way to see? I'm talking about emotionally. How can it affect you emotionally? Fear. That's what I'm looking for. The enemy who cannot speak truth, who cannot put out light, uses the advantage of darkness to invoke fear and pandemonium in yours and my heart so as to detour us from the path that we should go to end us in a ditch of destruction. I heard recently that, and I don't know if this is true or not, I have not verified this, but it sounds good, so I'm going to preach it, okay? That often the lion, it's not the lion that does the hunting, it's the lioness, right? And maybe it wasn't the lion, maybe it was another animal, but I'm thinking it was the lion. The lion will roar so loud to invoke fear in anything within its territory that they run in exactly opposite the direction of that roar. And then the lionesses are on the other side to catch the prey that runs right into the trap. Am I right? Did you know that's what the devil does to you when it's dark in your life? If he can just put fear and panic in you to where you run in the wrong direction, he's leading you right into his destructive plot and ploy and plan. And we've got to learn how to see in the dark, or we will become a statistic of the enemy. Now, metaphorically speaking, it's getting awful dark in this world. There's a lot of panic, a lot of confusion, a lot of terror going on. And a lot of things that we worry about and things that we stress over. When you have a culture that literally calls right wrong and wrong right and gets it exactly the opposite, then you learn what's really going on in the world is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, and the children of disobedience roaring. What does the Bible say? That Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking to roar in this darkness to get you to panic and to buy into his solicitation, to give you false instructions. His intent is to destroy you, not to help you, but he wants you to think that he's helping you and giving you a direction away from what's causing you to be afraid. Now, the Bible teaches us not to live in fear. The Bible teaches us that there's promises that we can stand upon and latch hold of and walk with. And if we will listen to the voice of the shepherd in the pitch black dark, we don't have to have optics as long as we hear his voice. It don't have to look like we think it should look. Now, let me break this down for you. There's several things here that I want to give you. And there's a lot I've wrote down, so we'll have a mixture of that. But I want to mainly follow the Holy Ghost. The enemy thrives in optics, appearances, illusions, what seems right. And often he uses our natural logic. Logic is our sight. It operates on what can be measured and seen. But when the light goes out, logic fails because now nothing can you see clearly. The disadvantage of darkness is that you cannot see to perceive. Follow me now. Faith, on the other hand, is our hearing. It does not depend upon appearances, but it trusts only what God has said. Not what you see, not what you perceive, not what you logically can understand or comprehend, but what has been said. I've told you the story of how I used to walk with my daddy down through the dark in the middle of winter to fix the old pump house every time the pipes would freeze up in the winter. And how it was usually late at night after the sun went down and it got below freezing. And if I got too far behind my daddy, who walked faster than me to get the job done, I was quickly afraid of the dark. But if I could hear his voice, even if I didn't see his flashlight, if I could hear his voice, I knew which way to go. And if you can hear his voice, you'll know which way to go. It don't have to logically and visibly make sense to your natural mind. But if you can hear the voice of your great shepherd, you'll make it through the midnight hour. Now, Isaiah shows us a paradox. You can hear the Lord, you can obey his servant, which is prophetic of Jesus Christ, and you can at times still find yourselves walking in darkness in this old world. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he sends us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He prayed to his Father that he would not take us out of the world, but that he would deliver us from the evil thereof. That's because we're supposed to be light. And by the way, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But did you know that God dwells in thick darkness? The Bible says in God is no darkness at all. But get this, just because there's no darkness in God doesn't mean there's no God in the dark. Hello? Amen. If you make your bed in hell, he's right there. There is no place too dark. He dwells in dark. I think he did that on purpose, don't you? I think he sent a signal to you and I to know that it can't get too dark for him. Amen. That he's right there. In fact, you might even say he's so close you can reach out and touch him. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That's how close he is. God sees in the dark. God dwells in the dark. But God in him is no darkness at all. And when God so chooses, he will turn the lights on. And he does so through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not what you see, it's what you hear from God. Now, get this. Because of the optics of life right now, many of us live with great fear and concern. The optics and the illusions of trial, tribulation. What does tomorrow hold? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my career? What's going to happen to this country? What's going to happen to the political scheme? What is Putin up to? Who's he going to bomb next? And the optics are terrible, not only on a national scale, but many times on an individual scale. The question then becomes, can we close our eyes to all the optics and listen for his voice? I want to teach you that darkness can be your best friend, not your worst enemy. And here's why. Because God knows that we have a natural tendency to go with what we can see. But God may, in fact, do us a favor and turn the lights out so that he can train us to listen instead of looking. It's not what I see going on in the world that matters. It's what I hear from the voice of my shepherd that matters. Can somebody say amen right there? I just preached better than you said amen. Woo! I tell you what, this is helping me because the optics are bad, but God is like, would you quit paying attention to the optics? Because that is the one tool that the devil uses the most. And here's what happens if you're walking in darkness and you can't see to perceive what's actually going on. The next thing the devil does is he gives you a mental image of what your eyes are not taking in. And often that mental image is far worse than reality. That's why the Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Back off, devil. I done read the book and I win. Come on, somebody help me preach this morning. Somebody's living in sheer terror over the circumstances of life and over the optics and what it looks like. And the Lord is wanting you to learn how to shut your natural tendency to try to perceive and understand and listen to the voice of the shepherd and trust what he said, because he sees what you don't. He knows what you don't. He may not be able to reveal it all to you right now, but you can trust that your shepherd is going to lead you on home. Can I get an amen? Oh, we got to learn how to see in the dark. But when we live by faith, we're not seeing naturally. We're seeing spiritually with our ears. Amen. Now, God's answer is trust in the name of the Lord and stay or lean upon your God. Now, I wish I had a shepherd's staff. I looked for one all day yesterday. I couldn't find one. And a shepherd's staff has a hook on it. I want you to think about something. The Lord showed me something about that shepherd's staff I've never seen before. I understand that the shepherd's staff is used as a rod of correction when the shepherd needs to correct his sheep. It's also a rod of comfort when he has to take that hook and reach and pull that little sheep up off a cliff before he falls to his death. Amen? But God showed me a third thing. Did you know that in some regions of the world where there are shepherds, a lot of times they migrate at night because they eliminate the heat of the day. And so sometimes when it's real pitch black dark, them shepherds are having to find their way through rocks, rubble, finding sure foot and making sure they don't step off and lead their sheep down into a ditch. And just like someone who might be blind that needs a walking stick, amen, you may have to find your way to make sure you don't stumble. And if you'll do a little research, you'll find out that shepherd's staff is sometimes to the shepherd the eyes they need in the dark. And what did he say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What did he say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's the darkness. They say if you go to Jerusalem, there was literally a shadow valley a lot of times they'd have to go through. And they feared the shepherds would go through that valley. And they'd fear because that's where the bandits would hang out and look for people to attack and rob from them. And sometimes they'd beat them half dead or even beat them to death. And they believe that the shepherd might have been thinking about that when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's dark. Here's what he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And then the next thing he says, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. I can be comforted in knowing that the shepherd is feeling the way out ahead of me. Yes. And as long as I follow his voice, I'll not fall in the ditch. Amen. Yes. Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. But aren't you glad that you're not following a blind shepherd? Amen. He sees clearly and he's saying, follow me and I will get you on home. Oh, I love that illustration, don't you? That's just the introduction. Let me give you 3 points. Hallelujah. Number one, I want to talk about the silence of sight. How logic cannot lead you in the dark. Now look at our text again. Who walketh in darkness and hath no light? So logic is often our sight, how we prefer to see things. But in darkness, sight, our logic, goes silent and cannot help us. Now, here's your biblical illustration. You remember Saul before his name was changed to Paul? In Acts chapter 9, verse 8, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand. What happened is he bumped into Jesus. He was walking in logic. He was walking in his perceived understanding of the Old Testament text. And he literally killed Christians thinking that he was doing God a service. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. He said, you're not going to find anybody more religiously zealous than I was. And he had all of the religious credentials that anybody would have ever wanted under the old Mosaic covenant. And here he is trying to hold on to the old covenant, thinking that Jesus is a threat to their religious ways of life, not realizing Jesus was the fulfillment and there was a new covenant being installed. So Jesus, rather than punishing Paul or Saul and sending them to hell, amen, allowing him to go to hell, he decided, you know what, I've chosen Saul, I'm going to name him Paul, and he's going to be my spokesperson. And did you know that every one of you have heard the gospel because of the ministry of Paul the apostle? Because God sent him to the Gentiles, and how do you think the gospel got here? It was because the Lord took somebody who was living logically in his natural understanding, but had no spiritual insight whatsoever. So what did God do to enable him to open his ears to the truth? He smote him with blindness. And for 3 days, he walked around moping in the darkness and thinking, what in the world just happened to me? And he knew that he had had an encounter with Jesus. I think, it's just me now, I think that the Lord was recalibrating the way he processed revelation. You're going to have to get your eyes off the Pharisees. You're going to have to get your eyes off the Old Testament. You're going to have to get your eyes off of your traditions. You're going to have to get your eyes off of everything you grew up thinking was the right way to go, because I'm showing you the new and real and only way in the fulfillment. So I'm going to have to smite you with blindness so that eliminate the distractions of your vision, because your eyes were leading you astray. Your eyes were leading you to kill the very people I'm calling you to minister to. So he had to smite him with blindness to stop him dead in his track, to keep him from walking in the direction that his logic would have not only destroyed others' lives, but his own. Did you know sometimes God allows it to get real dark in your life for one sole purpose, to train your ear to hear his voice? Because what happens when it don't make sense anymore? Don't you go to asking questions? Don't you go to praying harder? Don't you go to searching the scripture if you're a Christian? You're like, this is not making sense. This is not making sense. God, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Now he's got you. Because the only people that get righteousness, that are filled up with righteousness, are those who seek the kingdom of God. And if you're not seeking because your eyes are enjoying what you're being led to, and you're not going to the Word and you're not going to His voice because you're happy the way things are, sometimes God allows darkness to come into your life to eliminate the visual optical distractions so that you're no longer looking for fulfillment in where your eyes and your logic are leading you, but now you're having to go to the only place where you can find a real answer, and that's the voice of God through the Word of God. I want to thank God that he dwells in thick darkness. Can I get an amen? I want to thank God for the trials and tribulations. I didn't know that it would be a blessing to me. I thought it was a burden. I was asking God to turn the light back on. I was asking God to fix it for me. But little did I know that he's created a hunger and a thirst in me and an appetite in me, an insatiable appetite. I can't get enough of him anymore. And I went through a fast recently, and at the end of the fast, Brother Lesser, I was disappointed because the search was not as intense as it was. And I thought, I don't want to stop fasting. I'm enjoying the presence of God too much in this place. Amen. I tell you what, if you ever get a hold of him, you'll be satisfied and you don't want to look for help anywhere else.
Today's teaching is coming to an end, but you don't have to stop studying God's Word. Here at True North, we encourage each and every listener to dive into Scripture regularly on your own. As you do, ask the Holy Spirit to speak and for your heart to be receptive to what is being taught. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new edition. If you'd like to learn more about True North or Pastor Gary, visit GaryCaudill.com. Would you like to plan a visit to worship and study the Bible with Pastor Gary? You can find all the information you need about where he teaches by visiting GaryCoghill.com. If you're not in the area, we do encourage you to find and begin attending a Bible teaching community near you. Find a church family you can live life with, investing in the next generations. If you have any questions or would like to find out how you can support Gary Coghill Ministries and True North, please reach out to Pastor Gary. He can be reached at contact@GaryCoghill.com. That email again is contact@GaryCoghill.com. We're at a point where we need to end our time with you today, but we are so looking forward to the next message right here on True North.